Yo, Black Lives Matter, right?
I'm just looking for a job.
Jobs are for capitalist slaves.
It's with the blue hair from Tig.
I don't answer the patriarchy.
Why do you hate men so much?
Because, like, all men are sexist pigs. I deserve to die!
Next!
What do you love the most?
Beer, beef, and Jesus.
Next!
Why are most blacks so immoral?
I know you didn't just say that.
Where you going? Hey! Why do you still live with your parents?
No platform for fascists! No platform for fascists! No platform for fascists!
If you're so proud of Mexico, then why are you still here? This is ridiculous.
There's gotta be a better way to find gas.
If you strongly disagree with me, and you are a good debater, and if you live in the LA area and would like to be on the Fall Estate, go to thefallestate.tv.
Come join us on the Fall Estate!
Welcome to the Fall Estate. I'm Jesse Lee Peterson. There is a group of people called incels, and they are getting a lot of press these days. I have with me Derek. He's a 21-year-old, lives in Los Angeles. And so you are an incel.
Yeah, that's right.
And have you always been an incel?
I wouldn't say that I've always been an incel, but I would say that, like, most of my adult life, I've probably been an incel. So, like, probably, like, from 18, 19, 20.
18, you became an incel?
Well, what happened is when I turned 18, before I was 18, I was a young teenager. And I was very interested in finding a relationship with a woman, right? I wanted a girlfriend. And this was when I was more... I suppose I wasn't as bright as I or well read as I am now, I suppose, and I kind of just like assumed that it was very easy to get a girlfriend. It was just like, oh, you could just approach a girl and be nice and talk and just be friendly and it would all just work out. But as I got older and I became more aware of myself, I realized that, I had some, I did have some flaws, but there were also flaws around me that were preventing me from, situations that were preventing me from getting a girlfriend, which eventually, down the line, I learned of the term incel, and then that's when I guess I associated with it a little bit. Yeah.
And so what were your flaws that prevented you from getting a girlfriend? Have you ever had a girlfriend?
there's gonna be some people who are gonna call me a fake cell. in the forum or in like the groups, there are certain terms, right? And one of the terms is fake cell. So they're gonna say that because I had a girlfriend one time or twice, that I'm a fake cell. But I haven't had any sexual contact with any of them. So, like, the whole point about being an incel is that you are an involuntary celibate, right? Which means that you are a celibate, but you don't want to be a celibate.
So the definition of an incel is what?
It's
involuntary
celibacy, right?
Uh-huh.
And
meaning that you don't want to be celibate.
Yeah, you don't want to be celibate.
Okay.
Now there's also like voluntary celibates, which are people who they want to be celibate and they can be celibate. But they don't like they're celibate voluntarily, meaning that if they wanted to, they could go out and have a relationship with a woman. But they choose to for like moral reasons, right?
And so, what was it about you that made you an incel?
The reason that I believe that I'm an incel is mostly because of where I live. I am what they call a location cell, right? And a location cell is someone who is generally an incel because of the local sexual market around where they live. And this could be for various different reasons. Like, we're both in L.A., right?
Uh-huh.
And women in L.A., they're very, I suppose, more shallow and hypergamous, and they don't like to settle down. They have a lot of problems in their life. So there tends to be more of a problem for a lot of mostly young white men, and there's also a lot of young Asian men who have a lot of problems as well, and some Indian men as well, who have problems in areas like here. Like, I'm pretty confident in the fact that, like, I would say that the biggest reasons why I'm incel here specifically...
In Los Angeles,
or maybe even in, like, Southern California, let's
say.
So
when you say the area you live in, you don't necessarily mean your neighborhood.
No, I don't
mean
my
neighborhood. You
mean,
like, the city or state.
I mean,
state,
like,
that
the
you
city
might live in. Okay.
Or the state. Sometimes it can be even be a country, but...
Right. Okay.
Yeah. I believe that, like, here, the reason why I'm an incel here...
In L.A.
In L.A. or in California or, you know, Southern California. I have... some mixed data on Northern California. Northern California might actually be nice, but I'm not sure about that.
Okay.
But the reason why I think I am an incel here is primarily for two reasons, and it's probably, well, actually three reasons. It's because, primarily, probably because I'm a little chubby, right? You know, it's also probably because I'm a little short as well. I'm 5'5",
right.
Which is you know, not that sought after in certain relationships.
Right.
And another reason as well is that I don't have a job, even though I really want a job. I've sought out a job, but it's actually really hard to get a job in, you know, here.
Why don't you have a job at 21?
So when I was, when I turned 18, I did a lot of, job seeking, right? And, for whatever reason, like from 18, 19, 20, 21, and, I did stay around my local area. I applied to a bunch of different places, local businesses, my friend's business. Now my friend actually wants me to work with him, but the problem is it's a distance thing, so I can't really, like, he's really far away, so I can't work with him. But all the local businesses, they didn't hire me, right? And it was for various reasons, but I don't think a lot of the reasons were that justified.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not trying to diss them completely, but I did see. Now, you know, I'm not trying to be conspiratorial or anything, but around my area, I noticed that people who got hired over me, they tended to be like women or minorities, right? I didn't really see that many young white men getting hired, or I saw a lot of young white men having a lot of problems getting jobs. And I don't know if
that's true.
I don't know if it's affirmative action or if it's just some sort of, like, localized system where they don't want to hire white men. So that's why I've had a lot of problems getting a job, because I'd love to make money and move out of here like that, because I think here is, you know, the biggest problem. But,
right.
Yeah.
Why don't you go near where your friend live and get a job with him and then just get an apartment there or something?
Right. well, that's a little bit more complicated. Like, I do need to get a driver's license, right? And I don't have a driver's license yet.
Incel without a driver's license?
Yeah. Well,
so not only can you not get a woman, you can't even get a driver's license.
Well, no, yeah.
So is there, like, a YouTube channel for incels who can't get a driver's license?
No.
No, I'm messing with you.
It's just, I guess I've been more preoccupied. I've been trying to find a job in my local area because it's just more convenient, you know?
You live with your parents?
Yeah, at the moment, yeah.
And so you became an incel at 18. Were you overweight at 18?
Yeah, I was a lot more... I used to be a lot bigger, right? I used to be really big, yeah. I'm still chubby now, as you can probably tell, but I used to have, like, a really big double chin, and, you know, I couldn't look down and see myself. And,
wow.
And I couldn't, like, reach down and touch my feet without feeling really tired.
Really?
So, yeah, so I did. Now, the reason why I got fat, by the way, because, you know, because a lot of people who get fat, it is usually their fault, right? It's completely their fault, and they shouldn't be eating as much as they should or whatever. It's not a really good coping mechanism. I got fat when I was a child, and I grew up in that way. So by the time I was more cognitively aware of my problem, I had to deal with it on my own. You know, I had to figure out that, oh, okay, well, since I'm unhealthy and I'm overweight, and this is probably going to affect my life in more than just relationships, it's going to affect my life in, you know, health-wise.
Yeah.
I decided that I wanted to work out. So I've been working out basically every day for several months.
Good,
I don't know how many months it's been.
What caused you to become fat as a child?
Well, I don't want to put like too much blame on anyone, but I would say, I suppose there wasn't enough guidance or encouragement in my life, maybe from my mother, who didn't really teach me how to she didn't really encourage me to eat healthy foods,
yeah,
or not to eat as much, or to be as active outside as I could have been.
Yeah.
So that probably is the major factor. But I mean, I don't like.
Is your mother fat?
No. She's skinny. Yeah.
She's skinny.
Yeah, she's skinny.
Were you raised by your father too? Was he there?
Not my biological father. I have a stepfather.
Oh, so your biological father was there.
Yeah.
And your stepfather allowed your mother to just feed you and not make you get out and do things?
I mean, when you put it like that, it sounds really bad. But I guess
so. Yeah. And how do you feel about your stepfather not protecting you from your mother?
I don't think she was trying to like harm me. I just don't think she was being as diligent as she could have been.
And
you know?
Why not? Because she's skinny. She took care of herself, right?
Right, but I think
she took yoga and all those different classes and left you at home peeking out. Why didn't she treat you the way she treated herself?
Well, yeah, but she didn't. I think she just wanted to make me happy. Like, she just wanted to, like, because I think when I was younger, I liked food a lot, right? So she just wanted to make me happy. And I noticed the problem is she was a single mother, right? And for a long time.
So your father and mother were never married?
No.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah.
And so you think that because of that, she just wanted to keep you happy by feeding you?
Well, yeah, well, because, you know, like a lot of single mothers, they didn't have a lot of guidance in their in their childhood, right? They didn't have a lot of guidance in their life. Like my mother, I know that her father was very distant to her, which is, as you'd expect, a bad thing. And her mother was very angry and violent to her as well, you know, abusive. So I assume that what her coping mechanism with dealing with her bad problems in her life was to be more lenient and maybe too lenient and nice to me when I was a child. And especially when I had her being really nice to me. And she's a very loving person. But the problem is she was too nice. You know, she wasn't guiding enough. And I didn't have a father figure. So that probably did cause, you know, that probably did lead to the whole me getting fat as a child thing.
Yeah. Do you know who your father is?
I don't know his name, but I'm pretty aware of who he is. Yeah.
You're aware of who he is, but you don't know his name?
No.
So your mother just said, "Look, that man is your dad."
No. I mean,
you're like, "Oh, that's interesting," and you didn't bother to ask his name.
No, I did ask his name, and she did tell me, but you know, man, I forgot his name. You know, so.
And so do you live right down the street from him?
No.
Where does he live?
Somewhere in California.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Could you find him if you wanted to?
I probably could, yeah.
Do you want to?
Yeah, one day, yeah.
Yeah, you should.
Yeah.
How do you feel about him?
From what I've heard from my mother, she doesn't put, like, too much blame on him or anything, right? Like, she's pretty aware of, like, the situation, but he did, I guess like a mama's boy, right? So his mother did not like my mother. So, as my mom had had me with him, over time, I guess, the mother kept encouraging more distance, and he decided that he didn't want to be in the relationship.
Yeah. So how do you feel about him?
I don't really feel much. I mean, I'd like to get his side of the story. I like to see like what he has to say and like maybe what happened from his perspective.
Do you long for him?
Do I like long for him?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess I long for a father. So I guess maybe, but I'm not sure if I long for him.
But that's the only one you can long for is your own father. You can't long for another father.
Yeah.
So you should make an attempt to go see him so you can work that out.
Yeah.
And how did you feel about your mother? Did you resent her at all for letting you grow up fat and feeding you and not really treating you the right way?
When I was maybe like a year or two ago, I did become very hateful and dark and nihilistic. And at that point, I did put a lot of blame on her.
Well, she is to blame.
I mean, I know she is to blame.
She's 100% to blame.
But from ignorance, right?
Right. Like she's, right.
And because of the problems of her
own
past
life.
As well. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah. So yes, she is to blame. But I forgive her for.
So you've been watching my YouTube channel?
I have. Yeah.
Oh, so did she go and forgive her?
I mean, I actually forgave her before I even found you. Yeah, I discovered that on my own, that if you forgive someone, it's just better.
And you went to her and forgave her?
Yeah, I forgave her, yeah.
And you told her?
Yeah.
What did you say to her?
This was after, like, months of me just talk. Like, this was, like, at the peak of when I was really hopeless. You know, I was very dark and hopeless and angry and...
What does darkness and hopeless feel like? Hopelessness feel like?
Feels awful. Like, I mean, it just feels like you're in pain on the inside, but it's not like it feels like physical pain, but it's not actually physical pain.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, sure.
So,
did you try to take your own life?
No, but I did think about it.
You thought about
it? I thought about it like quite a few times. But
what prevented you from doing it?
I guess I coped in certain ways. Like I played video games, for example, or I did a lot of research into political stuff, or since I don't have a job, it's given me a lot of free time, right? So I've done a lot of research to try and be as educated and well-read on my own, even though I'm not in school or have a job. So I've done a lot of research into like biology, psychology. I read the Bible. I read the Talmud, which is the Jewish book, the Quran as well. I argued a lot on the internet to try and like strengthen my beliefs and what I thought was true. So I would always try and look for the truth, right? Because at the time, I used to be like not a long time ago, but it feels like a long time. But I used to be like an atheist, right? I used to be I used to be very dark and nihilistic, and I had like not that many. I mean, I had moral beliefs, but I had no foundation for my moral beliefs,
right.
You know? And
so you live with your mother right now?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
You live with your stepfather too?
Yeah.
Amazing. Is that hard on you?
I mean,
you're living with the people you hate.
No, I don't hate them.
Oh, you forgave them.
Yeah.
And so what is it like being 21 and living with them?
It's just normal, I guess. Oh, okay. It's just my life.
And so you went to your mother and said what to her?
Well, so after, you know, that whole thing, I went to her and I told her, you know, like when I became more understanding of things, after I became more well-researched into a lot of topics,
right.
I did understand it wasn't her fault, you know. Like this was even before I found any of your YouTube videos or anything. I actually found a lot of this stuff out on my own. It was a very hard process, very long process, took a long time. But I found out that, you know, the best thing to do is that you got to realize that, was it her fault? Yes, but it was her fault indirectly, and I do forgive her. And I told her that, you know, I forgive you for everything that you did, and I know it's not your fault. And
but it was her fault.
I mean, you know what I mean. It wasn't her fault. It was her fault indirectly from her parents.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
And their parents caused their problems as
Are
well.
Are you an only child?
Yes, I am.
And so what did she say when you told her that?
she was happy. Because I think she did kind of develop a sense of, she's very aware, you know? So, I noticed that a lot of mothers, they're not very aware, even of their own children, right? They can't even communicate that well with their own child. She could communicate very well. So I think she did start to understand that it was her fault, but she couldn't have, like, she didn't know any better. And she understood that, and she was sorry to me as well, right. And I was sorry to her.
Did you feel better?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. I felt better, yeah.
And how about your stepfather? You forgave him too?
I mean, we don't really talk that much about that kind of stuff. I mean, he's a leftist.
Oh, your stepfather?
Yeah. So, now he's not a bad guy at all. Like, I mean, right. He's not a bad guy as in, like, morally he's not a bad guy, but, he's very adamant about his beliefs about a lot of things. So it's really hard for us to talk about, like, let's say just certain things in general, because he might get angry about it.
Do you feel close to him?
not as close as I could be, I guess. No, not really, I guess.
And why not?
Because I guess through a lot of the fighting and, like, forcing myself to distance him from him because of the anger and the conflicts, mostly from him, because I'm not actually that angry. He's the one who's pretty angry.
Right.
Is that we can't really communicate that well about everything. I have to be, I don't, like, have to be quiet, but I feel like it's better if I don't talk to him about a lot of things, because then a lot of conflict won't brew out, you know.
Does he call you names when you argue?
No. Actually, he has called me names, yeah. But, yeah.
For example?
Like, when I was younger, he did call me, like a fat F word, right? This was during the presidential election, right? During one of the debates.
The Great White Hope?
Yeah, the Great White Hope. during the debate for, I think it was either the first or the second. I think it was the first debate. Was the first debate in October? Do you remember?
I don't remember, but let's say it was.
You could tell that Donald Trump was winning the debate, yes. Right? You could totally tell that he was winning the debate. And I supported Donald Trump.
Right on. You're an alpha male then, man.
Well, what happened is during the election, he made some comments to Hillary during the debate. And I was kind of like, I was like, oh, this is looking good for Donald Trump. More hopeful about him. You know, right. I thought he was doing well. And my dad, you know, he got very angry and violent during the debate because I guess he could kind of tell that something was going wrong, you know, like Hillary was losing the debate. And so he did get very violent. He broke things and he, like, throws a tantrum. And
really? Do you love him?
Yeah, I love him.
You love your stepfather?
Yeah.
And you love your mother?
Yeah.
So at what age did you realize you were overweight? At what age did you realize that you first I'm fat.
When I realized I was overweight, I knew I was fat when I was a child, but I didn't really understand how bad it was when I was a child. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, because I can remember my childhood very clearly, but I can also remember how I thought as a child, and I remember that how my brain worked as a child compared to how my brain works now. Your brain as a child is very foggy and it's not very it's not very clear compared to your cognitive abilities when you're older.
Yes.
So I realize, and it's kind of funny when people say that children can make certain choices that adults can make. It's not true, because children are very emotional and they're very innocent and they're not cognitively.
Right, because they're discovering, you know,
yeah.
They're just learning as they
so,
go.
So I knew I was fat as a child, but
at what age?
I must have been like. I guess I was fat really young, so it must have been maybe like 5 or 6.
So around 5 or 6, you thought, I'm a fat
or I
child.
I guess like, I didn't think I was fat necessarily, but like when I was 6, I think the doctor told me, or like told my mom that I was obese or something like that.
Oh, okay.
And then I think at the time, after I turned 6, I rode around a lot on a bike. And I did lose weight as a child, because
right.
I was only a little chubby back then.
Right.
And I did lose weight when I was 7 years old. But for whatever reason, what happened after 7 years old, I think, funny enough, I guess 7 years old is when my stepfather came around. Mm. Oh, that's a weird coincidence. Huh?
Yeah.
It's amazing. Huh?
Amazing.
Yeah.
That'll do it.
So I guess when I was 7, my stepfather came around, and I guess there was some conflicts between us even back then.
Yeah.
But he was nicer to me back then than he was when I was like older. He's nicer to me now, but there was like a point in time where there was just like a big conflict between us.
And so you grew up realizing you were fat. Did you feel unhappy with yourself once you realized you were fat?
I became more upset about myself and more like I guess ashamed and sad and something was wrong. Mostly when I was like after I graduated high school.
Oh, really?
And the reason for that is because in school and in middle school and in 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th, all those grades. There was like kids who were mean, right? Like they would call me fat or whatever, but it wasn't like kids were still nicer. I mean, people were more innocent when they're
right
around that age. So it was easier to talk to girls my age when I was around that age, and right, especially like during middle school and high school,
right,
because they were more, they were more innocent. And when someone is more innocent, they're generally, more kinder and receptive,
right,
and things of that nature. And so, like that's actually one of the main problems with incels and in like location cells, right? Or like incels in general, is that when women get not innocent anymore, like when they sleep around with a lot of men, they're not very nice or receptive anymore. They develop a lot of problems, and there's like a lot of various reasons for that. But like, so when I grew up, and I became 18, and suddenly I was thrown into a world where there wasn't any innocent people, especially in LA. There's no one who's innocent in LA.
Right. That's right.
I realized that the world is a lot darker and grimmer and harder than I thought it was, yeah, when I was a child. At first, I was like really desperate, I was really desperate to find a girlfriend, and I would do all I could to try and do that. And what I would do is I downloaded a bunch of dating apps and I downloaded a bunch of different things, and I would. At first, I wasn't extremely desperate. I was just like, I'm 18 now, I should be able to get a girlfriend relatively easily, and I'm sure everything will be fine. I'll just download
a
dating.
You were fat at the time.
I was more fat than I was now.
Okay.
Yeah. At the peak of my fatness, I was like 330 pounds.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So wow. And so you're thinking, now I'm 18, 19, I'm going to go for a girl.
Yeah, I'm done with high school. I'll go look for a girlfriend. I'll look for a job. Maybe I'll go to college, all those different things. And so I downloaded a lot of dating apps, and because I'm relatively good at speaking with people.
Yeah.
A lot of people say, oh, you're just, like a lot of people tell incels that they're awkward. And I mean, a lot of them are awkward, and a lot of them can't communicate very well.
Right.
And that's just for various reasons. Like I can get into that into a lot of detail later, but I downloaded all these dating apps and I did go out and I tried to talk to women and things of that nature. And women were nice and receptive, but none of them wanted to be in a relationship or date me. And I was just like, I'll just keep trying. There's plenty of fish in the sea, right? Gotta
right,
just keep trying.
Yeah.
So I kept trying and I kept trying for months and months and months and months and months and months and just kept trying for months. And then slowly that builds in your mind. You're like, why is no one saying yes to me? It's like,
right,
I was fat, but I was still taking care of myself. I was trimmed. I took a shower every day. I was nice, all those things. I could talk decently well, but nothing ever seemed to work out. And I was like, what's wrong? Am I ugly? Like what's happening here? And it just kept happening for months upon months, and so that made me very depressed,
yeah,
and that made me very angry. I was like, what's wrong? What is going on here? And eventually that did lead me down a path of finding a website called 4chan.
Oh yeah.
Right? And
yeah,
on 4chan there's a board, an image board called R9K, which means Robot 9000. And I went on that image board and I found there were other, mostly young men, but and they were talking about similar problems. They were like, oh, I can't find a girlfriend. You know, everything in my life seems wrong. Some people were a lot more depressed than I was, and some people, and there are a lot of people who have it a lot worse than I do, by the way. There's a lot of young boys who are suffering a lot, and they need help a lot more than I do. I mean, I think I need help as well, but I think that they need a lot more help than I do. So I went down this rabbit hole, and I found a lot of what they would call like red pills about like women and the sexual market and things of that nature. I became very like dark and hateful and resentful of women at the time. At the time, I was like 18, and I did at the time hate women. Right, like at the time, I did. I figured that all women were like this, because in my experience, all women were like that.
Yeah.
But
let me ask: did the women tell you, all these women you met online, you would meet them in person, right?
I wouldn't meet all of them in person, but I would meet. I wouldn't meet the ones online in person, but I would also go out to just, you know, events or different like social occasions, and I would talk to women, and you know.
Would they ever tell you why they didn't want to date you?
Sometimes they would just say like, you know, you're not my type. I have had one girl say, you know, I was too short. Actually, multiple girls tell me I was too short. But nobody ever mentioned my weight, but I kind of like knew.
Yeah.
Especially from the internet, that I was like, it's kind of my weight, isn't it? it's probably a lot. It probably has to do with my weight as well. So it's funny I mentioned my weight again, because there are going to be some people who are going to see this, maybe like incels who might recognize, let's say, my name on the forum later on, which I might talk about, and they're going to be like, oh, he's a fake cell. Because he's a fat cell, they say fat cells are fake cells, because fat cells might have a good bone structure. Like I might have a good bone structure underneath my face, or like I might have a lot of loose skin, but after I reach my goal weight, which might be let's say a year from now, you know, from the constant working out and progressing, I'm probably going to be relatively skinny by hopefully even next summer. There's going to be people who are going to say, oh, by that time, he's not even going to be a location cell. He's going to be a Vol cell in L.A. He's going to be a Chad Light or whatever, you know? So, and it's just like, but that's not necessarily, it's not like a fair thing to say, because there are guys who are better looking than me who have problems in places like this.
Right.
Who are incels as well. There are men who are taller than me who are incel in places like this, or in other places around the world, like London, for example. There's a lot of incels in London. There's a lot of Asian incels in places like this as well. They're for various different reasons.
Are incels mostly white people?
I would say that most incels...
White guys?
I would say that most incels are like white men, mostly young white men, but there are quite a few Asians and Indians. And there are a few black incels, but they're not that common.
Right. And what age group do they normally range from, what to what?
I would say that like most incels are probably between the age of like 16 to 25.
Oh, okay.
Now, there are obviously some who are older, and there's some who maybe even they find out younger. But
and so at some point you decided, I am an incel.
Yeah.
And so you decided, I want women, I want to have sex, but I'm giving it up. I'm not going to even try it anymore.
Well, no, that's not what incel means. Incel means that you want it and you try to get it, but you can't get it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So you're constantly, you go out there. And so that's what I was alluding to when I was 18, when I was getting desperate, is that eventually I got so desperate that I decided I'm going to have no standards at all. I'm going to go for old women, ugly women, women who, you know, they look like monsters. I'm going to go for them. And
amazing.
Yeah.
So have you ever had sex?
No.
You never had sex?
No.
Have you given up?
No.
You're still trying?
I mean, now that I have become a Christian, I'm trying, but I'm trying to find a woman who would marry me first, you know.
Oh, okay.
Like, because I want a relationship with a woman who's also like a virgin and stable. There's a lot of incels right. who are like that as well, because there is a lot of studies and just different data that show that women who have had no sexual no sexual acts with another person. They tend to be the most stable in terms of a relationship partner.
That makes sense.
Yeah, it's like it's funny how Christianity, they tell you that don't have sex before marriage because it's bad, right? It's a sin. So and the science says the same exact thing. The science says if you have sex before marriage with multiple different people, especially for men have problems as well, but women experience more problems from having premarital sex than men. They develop a lot of mental issues, and they aren't really good relationship partners, and they don't make very good decisions in choosing their partners either because of these situations.
So how did you feel when you were turned down by old women, ugly women, and all that? Like, what did that feel like?
That made me really depressed. I was shocked. I was like, at a point, I was like, surely, okay, maybe women my age don't want me, but I'm sure like maybe the ugly women will want me, right? Maybe the old women will want me. You know, all these. So I'm like, oh, I just want someone to like me. But
what would they say? The old and ugly. What would they say?
Well, they would just turn me down, I guess, you
really?
Know, they would just turn me down.
And so how do you feel about yourself right now?
I mean, I'm confident in, the future for myself.
Okay.
Like I am confident that, with how my facial structure and you know, everything, that if I get skinny and I get healthy, and hopefully if I get a job and all those different things, that I can, and if I'm hopefully moved to a better area as well, because this place is, you know, hopeless. LA is hopeless, but I am confident in like going to a better area and being healthy and good looking and hopefully have a stable job and finding a nice woman, yeah.
Tell me about the most common type of incels.
I would say that most incels are location cell, whether they realize it or not.
Okay.
And the reason for this is when you see a lot of incels talking about their problems, and what you will see is when you ask them or where they say where they're from, almost always they're usually from a leftist, hypergamous, high population city or urban area. And they're usually from a place like LA, London, Auckland, New Zealand, some places in Australia, some places like New York. LA is the worst one, though. In America, LA is, like, I've done a lot of research into the data.
Right.
And LA is the worst place to be as a young white or Asian male to find a partner, basically.
Right.
It's very, very, very hard for, it's actually very hard for men in general to find a partner in a place like this.
Right.
But, there are, like, when, like, as I was talking about earlier, I did, when I became very bleak and I hated all women, right? I did eventually learn, especially through meeting a lot of women who were from out of state and from other countries and from other places, that in, like, let's say middle America, more conservative or traditional areas where women are taught to, you know, care about themselves and care about being a mother and care about being having a family and things of that nature, they tend to be a lot more receptive. They tend to be a lot more mentally aware. They can even hold a conversation a lot easier than people here. I think that how I look wouldn't affect me in middle America.
Right.
I think a woman would be able to see past my looks a lot more likely.
Right.
And she would be able to see that, oh, this is a young guy who, you know, he's decent personality-wise. He wants to have a job, he's stable, whatever, or you know,
right.
things of that
You're
nature.
Right about that. What's another type of incel?
Okay, yeah, that's a great question. There are a lot of different types of incels, but the main three, there's like three that I would say are the main three. There's location cell, there is mental cell, and then there is what I would call, I'm not really sure if this is the accurate term, but I would call it like abomination cell. And so a mental cell is someone who is an incel generally because of a mental condition that they have.
Oh, I see.
Usually it could be like, it could be autism, it could be Asperger's, it could be a mental condition that they developed because of abuse, it could be various different types of mental conditions. What I would call an abomination cell is someone who is physically deformed, right? And they, or who is ugly, like really ugly. And they might not be able to get a girlfriend, even in a more traditional area, because they are actually physically deformed, right?
Right.
They have, and you know, that's very sad, and but I would not say that the majority of incels are abomination cells. I would say that most, even whether they realize it or not, are location cell, just from my own examining of the data.
So like the community, for lack of a better word, are they like in touch with each other from around the world by the way of the internet?
Yeah. Before the term incel got popularized, as I was talking about, there was the image board on 4chan called R9K, and that's where a lot of young men would go, I think, first. Is that's when people started to realize that they didn't call it incel, but they would call themselves robots. So I guess it was a little bit more broad than incel at the time.
So there's no incel convention or anything?
No, there's no convention. And there's the reason for that as well is because a lot of incels are very awkward, and they're very sad, and they're very lonely.
Oh, I see. So,
and also a lot of them are very paranoid, especially from the constant attack that they've received a lot lately in the media, like CNN or Vice, HBO, Comedy Central. Lots of YouTubers have attacked them.
In what way?
So there's a lot of what I would call, like, I guess, hit pieces on incels. And they like to portray these, they like to attack these young men, and they call them sexist. Misogynist. Some of them are sexist, right? But not all of them.
Right.
Some of them, and by the way, let me actually clarify that a little bit. The ones who are sexist, there's a reason why they're sexist. It may not be right that they're sexist, but the reason why they are hateful of women, let's say, and that's what I'm using as a definition of sexist. I wouldn't really, but the reason why they're hateful of women is because they've experienced bad women in their life.
Yeah.
If they experienced a good life, they wouldn't be hateful of women at all. But so one of the main reasons why the media attacks incels, I would say, is mostly because they're young white men for the most part.
Yeah.
Also, a lot of them are right wing.
So is this because a white man are under attack that a lot of young white men are becoming incels?
I would, yes, definitely.
Do you feel attacked as a young white man?
Well, not physically attacked,
right,
but like socially attacked. I mean, and like status-wise, I don't feel like I can succeed in LA. Like, I don't feel like I can get a job here. I don't feel like
You're white?
Yeah, or especially because I'm a young white man.
And what does that feel like? What is that like knowing? Because you're right about it. It's not just a feeling. It is a reality. And so what is it like growing up as a young white male, knowing that you're being intentionally discriminated against because of your color?
I mean, it's terrible, right? It's awful. Like, it pushes you into like extreme mindsets. You know, it pushes you into these views that you may not have had otherwise if you weren't attacked. Like, for example, as I was kind of alluding to, you know how like a lot of them, as I mentioned, a lot of incels are more right wing.
Yes.
There's a lot of them who are extreme as well. Like a lot of them who are more fascist or national socialist. And I know national socialism sounds, because it has the socialism word in it,
right.
So people think it's socialism. I can actually elaborate on that a little bit. I wouldn't say that I wouldn't associate with that necessarily, but I want to try and defend and like portray them in, and I want to try and represent the people who do believe that, who are incels, in a fair light.
Right.
Like I remember, I watched a previous interview with you where you were interviewing Dinesh D'Souza.
Yes.
Right? And he talked about how National Socialism was socialist. So thus it was evil and bad. Because socialism is evil and wrong and leftist and all that. But however, as I'm saying again, I'm not necessarily associating with it. I'm just trying to represent National Socialism, from what I know, from what I've researched into what they believe, what the incels who might necessarily be fascist or National Socialist, they believe, and by the way, National Socialism itself, it is not socialist. It has the word socialism
right,
in it,
but it's,
but
not,
it's
socialist.
Not socialist.
Okay.
It's kind of like, you know how like a kidney bean is not the same thing as a jelly bean,
right?
But they're,
it's
both beans.
Bean. Yeah.
It's just like the name, right?
Yeah.
National Socialism is actually more capitalistic than you might think. Like it's very traditionalist and corporatist, and not really corporatist. That's bad. That's a very bad thing. It's capitalistic and traditional. It does have some social programs in it, but they're not the main problem with socialism, especially with a lot of what incels would attack with socialism and with leftism, is, and why they would even say that this isn't just, this is like most incels in general, I would say, who are aware of their inceldom, they would say that it's because of Marxism and because of socialism and because of these leftist forces that have happened over the past several decades that have led up to this moment where white men are being under attack and women are being encouraged to not be women anymore.
Right.
And things have reverted. So what you find is there are some incels who they see Marxist attacks, they see socialism, they see it in the universities, they see themselves
yep.
being attacked,
yep.
they see it in the media, they see it in video games, they see it in comic books, they see it in books, they see it everywhere.
Yeah.
And what will happen is when they see all these things, they will find something that is 100% the opposite. And that's what National Socialism is to a lot of incels. They will see National Socialism, which builds itself up as a ideology that is 100% anti-Marxist.
That's amazing, man.
So, now there are some extremely bad connotations with National Socialism. For example, like Hitler or the Holocaust or things like that, right? The thing is, most incels who are National Socialists, I know this is, I'm not going to argue about this, but they don't believe the Holocaust happened, right? Like they think it was a lie, or not necessarily that it was a lie. That I think their explanation is that during the end of the German war, there were about 300,000 Jews that died in internment camps from starvation and typhus,
uh-huh.
and that was from Allied bombing that bombed German supply lines, and that's what killed a lot of Germans and Jews in general, because they were starving and dying of disease. That's what they believe,
right?
So even if, like, let's say hypothetically that Hitler was a bad guy and he killed millions of people who were innocent. They don't believe that. So even if it's true, they don't believe that.
Is that because of the attack upon them for being white?
Yeah, I would say definitely. The reason why mostly young white men are going to these, especially incels, are going to these extreme ideologies such as National Socialism. And I say extreme, I mean, because they are extreme, but they're actually very old and traditional, right, in a lot of senses, right? So
as a young white male, do you feel blame for the failure of colored people? Like all the blame is being put on you, a young man like you, you had nothing to do with it, you don't even know what they're talking about.
Yeah.
Do you feel that kind of pressure?
I wouldn't say necessarily on me specifically, but I would say that as my group, as young white people, I would say that, yeah, we are blamed a lot, and I think a lot of, you know, young men are retaliating in different ways because they feel blamed.
I want to explain a few popular terms among incels. Number one, what is Stacy?
Right. So a Stacy is like an extremely attractive woman, like the top, like the most attractive woman you can think of. That's a Stacy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and the reason why that term exists is because it's basically to explain how, like, you know, extremely attractive women can succeed a lot more than anyone. But it's not just extremely attractive women. They believe that women in general can succeed more than men in general.
And another term is a Chad.
Yeah.
What's a Chad?
Now, a Chad is like the male equivalent of a Stacy, right? Chad is like the 6'4". He's like extremely buff. He has a chiseled, beautiful face. He's the Ubermensch. You know, he's like the Greek god. He's the genetically superior male who is in alpha male and all those things.
Do the incels people hate those kind of people?
There are definitely a lot who are, I guess, let's say, resentful of them, right? But there are, I would say that they're more resentful of women, which they probably shouldn't be.
That's because they've been rejected by women.
Yeah, but there is a hatred towards, I guess, what you would call slut makers. Remember, you know what a slut maker is, obviously.
You want to be a slap maker?
No.
Are there incels who are slap makers?
There are incels, well, I guess you could call
them. I mean, who would want to become slap makers.
I would say that, yeah, there are probably some who might want to become slap makers. And I would say there might even be a few who kind of are, and I'll explain why. Mm-hmm. There is a concept in the incel community that you can't, you can still be an incel if you hire a prostitute or an escort or right. something of that nature, because it doesn't count if she doesn't want to be with you.
Right.
Right? Or if she doesn't want, the only way you can reverse inceldom or whatever is if a woman willingly wants to be with
be
you.
Be with you, yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, without paying for it or without manipulation or, right. what I mean. Yeah. So I would say that the ones who are what they would call escort selling, which means that they're like buying escorts and stuff like that, they are probably doing actually more harm to other incels because they are promoting more degeneracy and, like, let's say, slutty culture.
Yeah.
So like they're promoting the things that might have caused incels to be incels in the first place, because in a more traditional world where women were women, those prostitutes may not have even been prostitutes, right? They could have been great mothers.
So I just want to have this on record. You finished high school, right?
Yes.
But you didn't go to college.
No.
And why not? It's not a sin not to. You're smarter for not going.
Yeah, I know.
But
yeah.
Why didn't you go?
It was for various reasons. I did hear from a lot of people who I trusted to be intelligent. They told me that college was a waste of time, and they told me that it is full of a lot of propaganda, a lot of things. And like, so when you go through this process, even recently, in STEM fields, even there get like, which is, you know, like science, right. Engineering, things of that nature, mathematics. Even those fields lately have become even more infiltrated than they were, let's say, even like 5 years ago.
You're right.
It's hard, like, so when, like, let's say I went to college or university and I succeeded in that, and I actually, like, I finished the whole thing and I got my degree in, let's say, programming. I became a programmer. And I do actually study some programming on my own, but you don't have to go to college to be a programmer.
That's right.
You can just learn. But the sad thing is that they do expect you to have a degree in a lot of places. So I go through all the work to get the degree, and then I try and get hired at a job. There's a high possibility, even if, let's say, I'm the greatest programmer out of my school or out of my class.
Yeah.
Not the greatest programmer in the world, obviously. I'm sure if I was the greatest programmer in the world, I'd be doing a lot more than just getting hired by some random company.
And you would be an incel.
Yeah, probably not. So let's say I were to get hired at, or let's say I wanted to get hired at, like, Google or something.
Right.
It's very unlikely that I would get hired at Google.
And why?
Because they tend to hire people who are not young white men.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
They try and hire people who are... Yeah. For diversity reasons, they try and hire people who are women or Indian or,
Unfortunately. Yeah. So, are your parents aware that you are an incel?
To a degree, my mom definitely is more so than my father. But I have told my stepfather. I've told him, but I call him my father.
Right.
He's also aware, but he isn't like completely aware because I think he was more drawn in by like he's the guy who watches all the mainstream leftist type stuff. So he actually came to me I don't know if it was Bill Maher who was talking about it, but someone was talking about incels and portraying them negatively, as they do. He came to me talking about it. He's like, have you heard about these incels? And I was like, yeah, I actually have heard about the incels. I actually kind of am one, you know? And, you know, he was kind of shocked by that. And I was like, and I was trying to explain that, you know, they're not these sexist, misogynistic people who are like all full of hate. I mean, there's a lot of them who are full of hate, and I would say it's justifiable. It's not justifiable to feel hate, but it's justifiable why they
do it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So let me ask: so are most parents aware that their sons are incels?
No.
Most of them are not aware.
I would say that most people who are incels who live with their parents probably don't tell their parents for safety reasons. They might think that their parents would think that they might need like some sort of like psychological or therapy, because a lot of them are depressed. There's a lot of them who've killed themselves as well.
There's also a term called black pill.
Oh, black pill, right.
What's black pill?
So you know about red pill, right?
Right.
Right. Red pill is basically like the truth, right? And blue pill is the lies. So a black pill is like a dark truth, a truth that it's true, but it's not a very good truth. It makes you feel bad. It's very dark and bleak, and it's not very hopeful. And like the opposite of a black pill would be like a white pill, right? But a black pill, let me give you an example of what a black pill would be to someone, let's say, especially an incel. An incel might learn that because of their height, they can't get a girlfriend in where they live for whatever reason.
Right.
Because maybe like women in their specific area are more focused on height than anything else. You know, it varies depending on where you live, obviously. But, you know, like they might be face or might be a combination of face and height. You know, it's very varied. So they might find a black pill that says, oh, their height is terrible. And because they're a manlet or whatever, they can't get a girlfriend, so they become very sad and dark and bleak about it. So that would be like a black pill.
Okay.
It would be like a truth that is dark, you know?
I got you. I got to ask you this. In April of this year, there was an attack committed by an incel that received, you know, a lot of press.
Yeah.
And it was, can you tell us, what was that guy's name? Alex?
I think it was like Alec Minnison.
Yes, Minnison. He was 25 years old. Tell us about that.
Well, Alec Minnison, there actually isn't as much information as you think there would be on him, but what there is...
This happened in Canada, right?
I think so.
Yeah, in Toronto, Canada. It was a 25-year-old, and he drove a van down the sidewalk, killing 10 and injuring 16.
Right.
And he was an incel, who we were told.
Yeah. I mean, the funny thing about his story is that there's oddly not that much information about it.
Right.
Like the biggest thing, reason why we think he's an incel is because he made a Facebook post that said like something about the Beta Uprising and Hail Inceldom or something like that, or like Hail Elliot Rodger, the Supreme Gentleman, and things of that nature. And then he committed the terrorist attack.
And tell us about Elliot Rodger.
Okay, now Elliot Rodger, I know a lot about Elliot
Rodger. And he was out of Santa Barbara, right?
He's Santa Barbara,
California.
That's correct, yeah.
And he's this big hero now to all of the incels, right?
Well, not all, no. I mean, part of it's a joke. A lot of it is a joke. There is like this sort of joke where people talk about how Elliot Rodger is the supreme gentleman.
Yeah.
Because he called himself
the supreme gentleman.
Yeah.
So tell the folks who he was.
So Elliot Rodger was a young Hapa And Hapa means half Asian, half white.
Oh, okay.
His father was white and his mother was Asian. I believe she was Southeast Asian, to be exact. And he was an incel, I would definitely say, because of where he lived. And also probably because he was a Hapa as well. Because there's a lot of, I would say that this is very common in Asian men. I would say that Asian men who are in more multiracial communities, especially white or black neighborhoods, which isn't common, obviously. Like most Asians stick in their own community and,
right.
they stick together. But it's occasionally something that happens where you will see Asians or Indians or people of that nature who live in more white or areas like that. And I would say that they actually suffer the most, even more so than whites, because just from inceldom specifically, not necessarily they're attacked.
Right.
They are more likely to be an incel because women do not find them very attractive, and this is for various different reasons. Even their own women don't find them very attractive in those areas. And I would say it's mostly because Asian men have more neonatal features. And neonatal features is basically like more androgynous, baby-like, feminine features. Now, it's not necessarily that they have like an overflow of estrogen or anything like that. It's just how they naturally look, right? That's how Asian people are more neonatal in how they look. So women tend to not be attracted to those facial features in general, especially white women. White women are not attracted to those features on average.
Okay.
So he could not, he was mostly surrounded by white women. And as you'd expect, and in that area, it's very similar to LA in the sense, it's very hypergamous.
Especially up there in Santa Barbara.
Yeah, especially in Santa Barbara, that's right.
Yeah. So just for the record, this has happened in 2014. 22-year-old Elliot Roger killed 6 people and injured 14 near University of California, Santa Barbara. Before his killing spree, Elliot uploaded a long video explaining how angry he was at women for rejecting him.
I'm 22 years old and I'm still a virgin. I've never even kissed a girl. I've been through college for 2.5 years, more than that actually, and I'm still a virgin. It has been very torturous. But in those years, I've had to rot in loneliness. It's not fair. You girls have never been attracted to me. I don't know why you girls aren't attracted to me, but I will punish you all for it. It's an injustice, a crime, because I don't know what you don't see in me. I'm the perfect guy. And yet you throw yourselves at all these obnoxious men instead of me, the supreme gentleman. I will punish all of you for it.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
And were the incel community aware of Elliot prior to him killing the people?
Nobody was aware of him. There wasn't really many incel forums at the time. I don't think incel was even a popular term at the time.
Right.
But he was on a bodybuilding forum where he would complain about some things, and obviously YouTube as well. And after he did his attack on, the people he did the attack on, people found his videos, as they do after someone does something like that. And people found him very funny and awkward and entertaining, I suppose. So people were intrigued by him. He was a very intriguing character.
Right.
He was very just intriguing to just listen. This guy is so weird. He's so unique. And he wasn't a bad looking guy either. I mean, he wasn't the worst looking guy in the world. I mean, there's people who are really ugly.
He wasn't a bad looking guy.
But if you look into his situation, it's very sad, but because I'm not going to justify necessarily him killing people, but I can justify why he did that.
Right.
And the reason why he did that was because, let's say he lived in a community where he was mostly surrounded by Asians,
right?
Because most people who are mixed, who are like white plus Asian, they tend to look Asian. Asian features tend to come out more in mixed children. If he lived around other Asians and it was a more traditional Asian community, I'm sure, he just left where he lived. If he drove off into a better area, I'm sure he could have found a nice woman eventually.
Yeah.
But the thing is, the problem with that is a lot of young men, they experience that darkness and that hatred towards them and that rejection for so long, and that just constant hate and barrage and attacks, and some of them burst out in violence. It's very uncommon. Obviously, there's only two, right?
Right.
It's like, compare that to, like, let's say, Muslim attacks. There's how many Muslim attacks?
Right.
Or what about, it's funny how people talk about it being incels, but it's not like an entire, like, it's a type of person. It's like, for example, someone who is having sex with women as he wants to, like, let's say a slut maker. I'm sure there's been slut makers who have killed people, right?
Right.
Of course, right?
That's right.
And there's people who were voluntary celibate, yeah, who I'm sure have killed people as well, a lot more. And he didn't even do it talking about an incel movement. He did it talking about his own inceldom personally.
Yeah,
right. He talked about his own virginity and how women hated, or not how women hated him, but how women did not want to have sex with him and how he couldn't get a girlfriend. And that's what led him to commit those actions. Also, if you read into his story even more so, what you will find is that his mother wasn't necessarily the most fond of Asian men. And what you'll find this a lot in Hapa couples,
right,
or like Hapa parents, is, you know, like the it's usually a white man who marries an Asian woman, right?
Right.
And the if they produce a Asian boy, sometimes they turn out just fine, obviously. Like, there's some good parents out there, there's some good Asian and white mothers, I mean Asian and white fathers who it works out just fine. But what you will find is that in some cases the Asian mother has sort of a internal hatred, not necessarily hatred, but a like dislike for Asian men, and that's why she chose to be with a white man in the first place.
Amazing.
So And the sons are, you know, men in general are very perceptive of these things.
Yes.
And so when they see that their own mother, the Asian mother, which is supposed to be their representation of what a good woman is, they see that, and they see that their own mother does not like Asian men. And they look Asian themselves because they're half Asian.
Right.
They develop this internal hatred, and they, you know, it comes out in different ways.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So amazing.
Yeah.
Absolutely amazing. So, in short, what is this solution for incels?
I'm glad you asked. Well, there are a lot of different solutions that people have come up with. I guess I'll name the popular ones that people come up with. You talked to Jordan Peterson?
I have.
You have, yeah.
Yes.
He's talked about, like, I don't agree with everything. In fact, I think that some things he says are kind of like blue-pilled or whatever.
Yeah.
But he is a intelligent man.
Yes.
Overall, he's a very moral man, I would say, as well. He talked about a concept that was called enforced monogamy. And enforced monogamy is basically a concept of, as it sounds, enforcing monogamy.
Right.
And I'll get into, like, a big detail about why this is important. Culturally speaking, so evolutionary, like from like human evolution, thousands of years ago, we used to be more like savage, right? Like even like even in the Bible, right? Like let's say you're a Christian, you don't necessarily believe in like super far away cavemen.
Right.
When people were more savage, there was different sexual standards back then, right? There was different, like, it was very common for there to be an alpha Chad type male,
yes,
who was taller, he was stronger, he was more physically able, and this man is the man who would take all the women, and he wouldn't let the weaker men breed with the
right.
women. He would take all the women, and he would breed with the women. Now, what happened in these situations, and sometimes he would let, like, a few men get the scraps or whatever, you know? And this was before, like, the evolution of culture and society and all these different things. So what happens is those men who are seeing all these women they're not allowed to have the women. They get very resentful. You know, they were the incels of thousands of years ago.
Yeah.
They were the original, right? And they group up together and they decide, okay, we can't get the women on our own, right? Like they can't get the women on, like, on, let's say, through power or through violence,
right,
as the Chad might be able to. So they might group up to rebel against the Chad, or I'm calling him the Chad.
Right.
But, you know, they will come up to rebel against him, and they will take the women and separate them among themselves. Now, what happens is there were these alpha Chad type leaders who they became more perceptive and aware of this. And they realized that if they hog all the women to themselves, then their own men will turn up against them. And then
yeah.
that causes a lot of violence and strife and problems. So what happens is, as humans and civilizations and races and everyone just kept evolving over time, we developed different sociological and cultural and societal mechanisms to guarantee stability and guarantee a variety of different ways that men, every man, would be able to get married, or pretty much men and women would be getting married and having children on an equal level.
Yeah.
So back in those days, in the more primitive times, it was usually only about 20% of men were having the children with 80% of the women, and the other 20% of the women were like dying or you know, things of that nature. So as culture and society and all those things progressed over time, and as like monogamy and religion and Christianity especially, and all these different things that just encouraged monogamy and stability grew over time to help progress the cultural evolution of society. The margin of men who were having children with women slowly equalized, and there was 80% of men and women who were having children. Only 20% of both men and women at the time were not having children, like in the peak of cultural evolution, which might have been like even like 100 or 150 years ago. It's very recent. So what happened is, in the last 100 or so years, all that cultural evolution, all that thousands of years of progress to become civilized, all, you know, lots of, you know, the black community was becoming civilized, the white community was becoming civilized, everyone was becoming civilized. Certain things happened, like the Marxists, for example. They came to America and they destroyed thousands of years of cultural evolution. And that's what led to what we're experiencing today. We live in a primitive sexual market,
yeah,
just like it existed thousands of years ago. And what this is doing is this is making men who were more, let's say, intellectually and more intelligent, who tend to not be the most, they don't tend to be Chads. People who are intelligent don't tend to be these 6'4", Greek god types.
Yeah.
They tend to be just like average looking guys, or, you know, even like awkward or like, you know, small frames necessarily. And so they're the ones who aren't breeding, and we need those men to breed, because the smart men who need to breed, they're the ones who help progress technology forward, right?
Oh, yeah.
Now, the way that you can fix this is through enforced monogamy, just like it existed 100 or so years ago. And you can do this through many different methods. You have to bring back, let's say, Christianity, right?
Yeah.
Christianity is a great way of helping enforce monogamy.
I agree.
Another way would be to put in laws that, like legal systems in place that help encourage enforced monogamy. And like some concepts would be like, make a punishment, I know this is going to kind of maybe sound a little extreme, but make a punishment for people who sleep outside of wedlock. Maybe not like send them to jail necessarily, but give them like a massive fine or something like that. Or increase, and this is going to sound very extreme to some people, increase the age of consent to 25, except in cases of marriage. And what this will do is this will allow people who are 25 and younger, who are the future, right? They're the people who are going to be growing up. This will force them that if they want to have sex without getting punished from having premarital sex or getting a divorce or, you know, all the possible legal systems that might be in play to discourage them from being promiscuous or not monogamous, this will force them that if they want to have sex and have, you know, things of that nature, they have to find someone that they love who they will get married to before the age of 25, and they have to stay loyal and monogamous. They have to be a virgin, obviously, as well.
Amazing, man.
Yeah.
I could go on and on with you.
Yeah.
Believe me. So, quick yes or no answer.
Yeah.
There are a group of, I've just read a report, or maybe I heard it somewhere. There are young girls who have been told that having sex like men do with a bunch of different guys, just do your thing, have gone out there and had sex, and then later they realize that wasn't good for them. And so now they're depressed and they're hanging out in corners. I mean, like, hiding away. You heard about that?
Yeah, I mean, that's mostly common. Yes, that's common in more like older women, right? Because they made a lot of mistakes when they were younger.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Number two, are there female incels?
No.
No female incels.
There's no homosexual incels either.
No homosexual incels, no, because, and no female.
Because
100% male.
Yeah. Have you seen homosexual men? They can find another man so easily. Like, yo, if I was a homosexual, I could find a man who, I could find a Chad homosexual who wanted to be with me. So, yeah. It's really easy when you're homosexual, but no.
Oh, okay.
You have to be a straight male, yeah.
So tell us how we can find you.
All right, yeah, you can find me at, my email is brendiocontact@gmail.com. I have a YouTube channel where hopefully I'm going to be making more YouTube videos where I'm going to be explaining a lot of things. You can basically, if you want to find me anywhere, whether it be Steam, YouTube, any of those places, look for Brendio EEE.
Is this your first interview about this?
Yes.
Absolutely amazing.
Thanks, man.
You really are. Yeah. Really are. And so my final question, did you have fun?
I had fun.
Yeah. Thank you for coming. And thank you for tuning in, folks. Amazing. Support Patreon. Support the products we have. This is what we do with the money.
I do pray for the day you see straight. There's a lost child inside who only needs faith. Make a mixture of the perfect elixir. You claim it spreads peace, but it only breeds hate. Keep pace with the delusional left. No matter the truth, it's collusion in the breath. Real men gotta come back from their fallen state and bring back our morals in a forceful way. It's not empowerment to fornicate, cause not one thought is spent to afford your fate. You now equate regret with a forceful rape, while you parade around in nothing but some shorts and tape, like you want to attract the worst society has. All I see is someone in defiance of the dad. It doesn't make me mad, just a shame to be called a broke alone woman finishing the slut walk. And I stay right, and I keep hope, but it's on my mind, cause it's all I know. I'm right in the thick of it, and wouldn't change nothing, not a little bit. I pray for the day that the world's gonna change. Remember my name and pick yourself up off the ground.
Next time on The Fallen State.
Do you agree with me that straight, white, conservative Christian men of power are under attack?
Absolutely, yeah.
Give us an example, the proof of it.
In South Africa now, you have a leader of a political party. He's calling for the killing of white people. And Huffington Post and Vox, they're saying, if you talk about it, you're a white supremacist. And then they're like, well, the truth doesn't even matter. So it's like, they want white people to get murdered. The American media, the left-wing media, are accomplices. Not only not covering it, but they're censoring and trying to shut up people who are.
Thanks for watching The Fallen State. We need your continued support. Donate to my nonprofit here. Subscribe and like the videos here. And tell everybody and their mama about the show.